But more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
ESPN 1000. Don't forget, you can always watch the show on YouTube as well. Just search ESPN Chicago on YouTube. And, of course, you can take us on the go with the ESPN Chicago app. Usually we're with you 9 to 11 a.m. on Saturdays. We'll be back in that time slot this Saturday. But we've got you till 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. And we will talk with Jake Marsh coming up at around 9:15. To get the latest on what's going on down in Memphis for the FedEx Cup playoffs and the St. Jude and everything that's going down right now in Memphis, where Hideki Matsuyama currently a 5-stroke leader, but there are plenty of names that are rising up the leaderboard. So we'll talk about that with Jake about 15 minutes from now. But this week, Mike, the PGA Tour released their 2025 schedule, and basically I think the two words that you could describe this is not much, and because those were the two words that Jay Monahan used, the commissioner of the PGA Tour used when asked about what's changing from last year to this year, and it doesn't seem like there's anything that really sticks out. And if there's no changes, I think that is saying a lot about the state of the negotiations between the PGA Tour and LIV.
Amen. Amen. It's just stagnant, and that's not good for the overall ecosystem of golf. And I said it earlier in the show, I would have thought that based on what happened last June 6th, a year ago this past June 6th, that we would be in a position where we would have come together by now. We would be on a path, and we would know what the future is looking like. And now we are more further away than I think we've ever been since June 6th. And I don't see what light I saw at the end of the tunnel has now disappeared again. And I'm not sure, because I'm not sure Jay Monahan even knows. But I will tell you right now, at best, it's going to be 2026 and more likely 2027 before there is an absolute merge of a sort that makes a lot of sense and is truly bringing sides together and not just coexisting. Because really what we're doing is coexisting with a bit of a gentleman's wink, wink handshake out there that we won't, you know, hurt each other's entity or where we stand currently. But I think with where things are, I think this winter is going to be an interesting one, and I'm not sure if it has the best interest of the game at hand anymore.
Right. It just feels like the stagnation of this entire discussion has really thrown a lot of cold water on something that seemed like it had a lot of momentum. I think golf fans were excited for the reunification of the game and thought this would be great for the majors and beyond. Like, it would bring together something that, I mean, we've talked about ratings for a lot of these PGA Tour events and majors. They're not good. They keep going in the wrong direction, aside from really the one outlier is the PGA Championship from this past year. But I think you had an outlier event take place, and that is Scottie Scheffler, the world's number one player, getting arrested on his way to the course one day, and then he goes out and has one of his better rounds of that tournament. And it's just all the drama that was kind of wrapped up into it provided for great theater. But is that what you really want to bank on week in and week out? Is that a good look for your tour? If that's what you need to get eyeballs on your product, and that's the thing, is you look at two of the top players on the PGA Tour this year, Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele. Neither of them are all that interesting off the golf course.
Exactly.
And that's hurting the PGA Tour. It's hurting the viewership. They don't have that, despite the fact that Scottie Scheffler is working his way into being one of the best we have ever seen. We're at that point now with Scottie, but the rest of the world, the rest of the sports fan world, isn't quite in lockstep with that, as evidenced by what we see from the TV books every single week.
But for those who, for the dads out there that have a daughter like myself, Scottie Scheffler is exactly the type of person you want your daughter to marry, right? For all the right reasons. He's a great gentleman and just a class act. But he doesn't move the needle like Tiger Woods did, like Jack Nicklaus did.
Like even Phil.
Phil, yeah. These guys were needle movers. And, you know, and it's what's what's ironic is we have all of this, you know, controversy between LIV and the PGA going on. And quietly over here, and I might add quietly, Scottie Scheffler is rewriting and potentially making history before our eyes in a way that is just so much under the radar versus we knew what Tiger was doing. We knew when Tiger arrived to the golf course. We knew when the red shirt was going on. He was such a needle mover in that regard. And now it's like we have really two really good vanilla guys. Mm-hmm. And I could only imagine if we had more of a, just let's say Scottie was just another average player and he only won a couple of times and the wins were much more spread out over the course of a lot of players. And this is going on. I could only imagine how much the viewership would even further decrease in TV eyes, whether it's the Masters, Open, LIV, Olympics, any of this, because I think that Scottie's ability to play the way that he is playing is holding up the PGA Tour side of this. If Scottie isn't dominating and Xander winning multiple majors and this thing gets spread across a bunch of these guys that are between here and 125th, I think golf is in a has a bigger problem. Right now, we're surviving off of what Scottie and Xander are doing. It's just what is going to happen over these next few years. And I'm concerned.
I think, too, the big fish that went over to LIV, all those guys have bigger brands, personalities, all that, than what you see out of a Scottie Scheffler. Like, think about some of the big, like, Brooks Koepka, right? Larger-than-life personality. He's kind of like a don't-care type of guy. He's just very good at golf.
Yes.
Bryson, the electric internet personality that he is, the YouTube channel, all that out there, analytically driven, just a different thinker, different guy, something fresh and new for the sport. Even Jon Rahm, explosive personality. And you look at the guys that you have, it's kind of like the good boys are just on the PGA Tour, and the bad boys went to LIV. And even though it's tough to really build up a league from the ground up, which is what LIV tried to do, now they had a head start when they go out and get someone like Phil to kind of be the face of what their league is. But then you add on the additional pieces like the Brooks, the Brysons, the Rahms, guys like Tyrrell Hatton and Cam Smith. I think all of that put together, even though the eyeballs aren't there, I think if you were kind of starting both of the leagues from scratch, LIV would probably have more eyeballs than the PGA Tour just based on who they have as a part of their lineup day in and day out.
I would agree. And I think LIV does well for a guy like Cam Smith. He's from Australia. Most of these events are more worldwide than they are in the United States. And he has one now in his own country and looking to have a second one as well. So for a guy like him, make all that money and to be able to play more golf in front of his own people, it works. What concerns me is a guy like Jon Rahm, who now it's rumored that he is regretting his decision. And this is coming from some sources that are pretty close to John and maybe in or in his inner circle. And if, in fact, this is true, this is going to make the poaching process really, really difficult for LIV. If, in fact, he is looking and is willing to give the money back to return back to the PGA Tour, because he over and miscalculated, as it's being now mentioned or promoted. But he would gladly give the money back, allegedly. Now, it's ironic that he's winning the event this week out at the Greenbrier, but it'll be interesting to hear what he says after this event is over and whether this is in fact true. But I think it speaks back to what you and I have chatted about on previous shows, in that Rahm is the kind of guy that needs a lot of golf. He likes to play a lot consistently in his game. And I think it has a lot to do with how short he keeps his backswing, that the way he manages his swing is one that needs a lot of repetitions, and repetitions under pressure, because it is so short, and he doesn't want to speed things up any quicker than he already goes. So I think he is built in a way that playing a lot of events is a good thing for him, where other guys like a Brooks, who's nursing injuries and the wear and tear at this point on his body, live is perfect for a guy like him. Big game hunter, get my game. I know how, because he has a certain discipline when he is by himself to practice and get his mind and his body ready to compete at a major without having to have multiple events leading up to it. So it's going to be interesting. I think John Rahm's situation over the next couple of weeks is going to dictate just how active, busy, and willing some of these other players, you know, like a Robert McIntyre.
That's the name you brought up in the break. Yeah, yeah.
I think a guy like him, he's won. He wants to leave the United States. He wants to come back to Scotland. He's moving from Florida. So I don't know that he has to play as much as everybody else, but to be able to make, I mean, gobs and gobs of money to live over in Scotland, he would live a life of a king over there and be, you know, an absolute god for what he's already accomplished. I don't know that playing in America, the PGA Tour, does any more for him, especially if he has a route to the Ryder Cup and a route to the majors. Why do it? You can live in Scotland and play a lot more, like fly to the event, play and fly home. And it's like you and I going to Pittsburgh and back.
Right. I think the other part too is you brought up with John Rahm, that was always weird that he went to live in the first place.
Totally.
It struck both of you and I as odd because A, Phil basically told him, dude, you don't need to do this. Yeah. Like, and that's Arizona State talking to Arizona State right there, too. So there's the Sun Devil Brotherhood there. But it was just odd because it never seemed like it fit Rahm. It never fit his personality. He seemed like a 72-hole guy. He didn't seem like he was looking for any sort of shortcut for his game. And he left kind of at the peak of what he was, too. Fresh off of a Masters, he had the earnings record before Scotty broke it this year. I mean, everything about it didn't add up as to why he left, and that's why, to me, it always kind of struck me as, maybe the PGA Tour and LIV are a little further off than initially anticipated because of John Rahm leaving. But even him leaving, even if those two entities never come together, it still doesn't make a lot of sense to me as to why he would opt to go to a place like LIV.
Well, there's an old saying that your ego is not your amigo. And I think his ego led to some of the miscalculation that they're rumoring is happening now. Meaning, I think he miscalculated his impact just being John Rahm at the stage of where his game and what he was to the game of golf at the time that he left. I think he thought that in itself was going to be a game changer in speeding up this process of bringing the PGA Tour and PIF together and let's get this thing settled, decided, and let's move on. But it didn't happen that way. He also went very strongly out of the box about how he was going to push for 72 holes and make this more like PGA Tour, because I think that was also in his own mind, the way to get the world ranking points to be back with LIV again, so that all the players could earn world ranking points and thus get into the various majors that they're on the outside looking in at the moment. But honestly, I think he swung and missed on both. And I think he's going, oh, no. And now with Jay Monahan coming out, the schedule coming out, and Monahan indicating that we're moving in the right direction, but we're not moving very fast. And in fact, folks, recalibrate yourselves. This is going to be a lot longer journey than we would have ever have guessed.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, when we come back, we will chat with Jake Marsh. He's on the call for PGA Tour Live and get an update of what's taking place down in Memphis for the FedEx St. Jude Championship. All that coming up next. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Hideki Matsuyama, your leader right now at the FedEx St. Jude Championship. 17 under, well ahead of the pace of everyone else. Nick Dunlap in second at 12 under. Victor Hovland in third at 11 under. And then the buddies, Scotty Scheffler and Sam Burns, each at 10 under right now. On the call for ESPN Plus on PGA Tour Live is Jake Marsh, and he's kind enough to join us during his break in the action on the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. Good morning, Jake. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Tyler. Thank you for having me. Always fun to be on during the FedEx Cup playoff.
So what has been the biggest thing that you've kind of taken away through the first three rounds and changed so far?
I think just how unbelievable Hideki Matsuyama is playing. I'm sure you've talked about it on your show earlier, but the story this week with him not playing with his usual caddy, unfortunately, they were robbed coming back from Paris from the Olympics, and his caddy and coach's passport were stolen, so he couldn't make it back to the U.S. So what Hideki did is he called up a friend in Japan, said, hey, can you come be on my bag in Memphis, hopped on a plane, headed over, and it hasn't fazed him one bit. So it's definitely a unique story, and we'll see if Hideki can close the deal today.
And that we will, Jake. And obviously with the evolution of these signature events, now making this next cut to the top 50 has more implications than ever before. Who do we need to be really keeping our eye on? Obviously, it looks like Matsuyama could run away with this thing, but what are sort of the stories within the story to keep our eye on? Because the importance of making this top 50 and their year next year when it comes to planning.
Yeah, absolutely. You nailed it right there. Even if Hideki Matsuyama runs away with this thing today, there's still going to be a ton of drama because only the top 70 are in this event, and then only the top 50 will be playing in Colorado at the BMW Championship next week. But I think you look at a guy like Nick Dunlap right now. He's in second place, and entering this week, he was 67th in the FedEx Cup standings. Right now, he's projected to be in 12th. So he needs to have a solid round today. If he shoots four or five over, that's dangerous because the points in these FedEx Cup playoffs events are quadrupled. So if you do well, you'll shoot up. If you do poorly, you're going to plummet down. So he's a guy to look out for. Obviously still in contention in this tournament, but he needs to have a solid round to make sure he can elevate himself for next week and beyond.
Jake Marsh with us. He's on the call for PGA Tour Live for the FedEx St. Jude Championship. So you had an up-close look at Rory McIlroy. You were following him this morning, and things have not gone according to plan for Rory in this tournament. He's 5 over right now, 67th in a field of 70 guys. What have you seen from Rory from your time watching him this morning?
Yeah, Rory and Jake Knapp playing together, and the vibe I kind of get is that it's just kind of a glorified practice round, because in these types of events, there's no cut, and if you're five over and 22 shots back of the lead, you're usually sitting at home during the weekend, but that will never be the case in these playoff events. So just definitely sensing some frustrated body language from Rory, but obviously he's very safe from not making any of these other tournaments. So we'll see him the next couple of weeks, and I'm sure it'll be a nice couple of days to reset before the BMW.
And then, Jake, you know, obviously there's all kinds of pressure, like you mentioned earlier, with today's round in particular. Final round, this means a lot. But what is also on the line, believe it or not, and gets lost in all the translation, are the ramifications to the President's Cup, really, on both sides. I mean, obviously, Hideki Matsuyama is leading this event and leading the international team. But who in the field needs some help or could really help themselves in the eyes of Captain Furyk and Weir today and next week?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been highlighting a lot of the international side for Captain Mike Weir. Of course, they're hosting the event next month in Montreal. So I think you have to keep your eye on a lot of these Canadians who are in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Guys like Taylor Pendrith, Corey Connors, Mackenzie Hughes, it would mean so much to them to play in their home country in this massive event. And Team USA, obviously, the last time they played as a team in an international setting, they got humiliated in the Ryder Cup last year. So whoever Captain Furyk decides, they're going to be seeking out blood.
You've got a pretty good pairing, Jake, in your late morning window here that you're on the call for. You've got Sahith Theegala and Colin Morikawa, so a nice duo there. What are you expecting to see from those two guys who right now probably not playing as well as they would have liked, even though this is a course where they've had success and their games kind of are tailored to it?
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited for that. They'll be teeing off in about 15 minutes, and I'll be back on the air at 11, so I'll catch a handful of holes from them. But they're both inside the top 10 in the FedEx Cup standing, so nothing to worry about for them in terms of missing out on the next couple of events, top 50 next week or top 30 in 2 weeks at East Lake, the Tour Championship. So, Tyler, I think for them, it's kind of a similar vibe to Rory, right? They really don't have anything to lose here. Sure, they can shoot up the leaderboard a little bit, but they're 14 shots back of Hideki, so I think they're just viewing this as maybe a little bit of a tune-up for next week.
So as things wind down in Memphis and we get ready to head on out to Colorado, this week Jay Monahan had a few comments. They released the schedule. But in the comments, it sounds like we're not getting too close to a resolution here with PIF. And then on top of it this week, we had John Rahm, or allegedly there's rumors out there that John Rahm would give the money back and return in a New York second. With all that being said, what's the vibe like, and where do you think things truly stand now with the PGA and PIF and any sort of resolution anytime soon?
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people would agree in one way or another. We just need all the top guys playing together, because the last few years, the majors have benefited because they feel so much more important seeing guys like Rahm and Brooks and Bryson meshed in with the Rorys and the Schefflers and the Schauffeles of the world. So I think no matter how, they just have to figure it out and get it done. But in terms of progress to making that a reality, I have not heard slash seen any significant progress, unfortunately. But fingers crossed that it eventually happens, but I think it just has to happen, and it has to happen soon, because we want the best in the world playing against each other every week, not just four times a year.
Real quick, and we're talking with Jake Marsh here on the Jersey Mike's hotline. He's on the call for PGA Tour Live. Right now, sitting in 70th out of this 70-man field is Max Homa, someone who I'm sure from your Pardon My Take days got to know a little bit and interact with. And this has not been the year that Max has drawn up for himself. Have you noticed any sort of frustrations or anything of that nature of why he may be struggling as much as he has this year?
Yeah, I have noticed the frustration, and there's words uttered on our airwaves this morning that I repeat on this show, unfortunately, from Max. But obviously I'm pulling for him to bounce back. He had that fantastic run at the Masters trying to chase Scotty. But I think after this, he'll still qualify for the BMW Championship, and hopefully that'll get him into Atlanta in 2 weeks. But if not, I'd assume he's going to take some time off and hopefully reset. We'll see if he plays in the President's Cup. We'll see if he plays in some of these FedEx Fall events. But I think he's going to start looking ahead to 2025 as a clean slate.
Awesome. Well, Jake, we appreciate you taking some time with us, and you'll be on the call for Sahith Theegala and Colin Morikawa later this morning, and then you'll also have the 14th hole, the featured hole, a little bit later as well, so we'll be watching.
All right. Thank you, guys, as always, Jake, for having me. Enjoy your Sunday.
You too, Jake.
Jake Marsh, PGA Tour Live, and also Barstool Sports with us here on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. When we come back, we'll whip around what's taken place at the FedEx St. Jude, including a couple names really shooting up the leaderboard that may have them qualifying for next week at the BMWs. We'll do all that when we come back right here on the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan with you on the CDGA Golf Show. If you missed anything, check it out on the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Download the app, get it on your phone, take us on the go wherever you go. And you can also get all the podcasts there. You can find us on the CDGA Golf Show tab, or you can just search for us wherever you get your podcasts, CDGA Golf Show. So the FedEx St. Jude Championship taking place right now. Hideki Matsuyama, by far and away your leader. How about this? 65, 64, 64 to get him to 17 under for the tournament. He's five strokes ahead of everybody else right now. Nick Dunlap, who's been a great story, he's up 56 spots in the FedEx Cup standings. If everything sort of holds where it is right now, he's going to go from really having to battle his way to get into Eastlake to, and quite frankly, even to get to the BMW Championship, to all of a sudden feeling pretty comfortable about where he is. He, as everything holds right now, would move all the way up to 11th in the FedEx Cup standings. Victor Hovland, a nice resurgence from him. He is 11 under, and that's largely fueled by a Friday 63. He went 70, 63, 66, and now has his final round today. Scotty Scheffler and Sam Burns, each at 10 under. They're tied for fourth right now. And then Will Zalatoris, who's had a really up-and-down year, he's made things a little bit more comfortable on himself. He entered this week at 49th in the standings. He is now at 33rd. So not only is he going to feel pretty comfortable if everything kind of hangs around where it is, not only is he going to feel pretty comfortable about getting into the BMWs, but on top of that, he's got himself a chance to get into Eastlake if he follows it up with another good performance out at the BMW Championship next week.
Yeah, no doubt. There's a lot of great stories going on. And a few of these guys that are just hovering around that bubble, you know, a guy like Eric Cole, who's lighting it up right now on the golf course, but needs to, he's 54th right now.
Yeah.
So he needs to have a good day to kind of get his...
And he started hot.
And he started.
He started four under through three. That's how he began his day today.
So my hope is that he does well here. Another guy that is, you know, trying to get things going is Keegan Bradley, the Ryder Cup captain.
Yeah.
You know, he's right there on the bubble. A guy like Justin Rose is hanging on. A few of these guys are going to, you know, their season's either going to come to an abrupt halt, or it will continue to move on. And a lot of great stories to watch, not only just Hideki doing his thing, but it'll be interesting to see how Scotty responds after. I think we were talking at the break, a little bit of an emotional Scotty that we mm-hmm. saw yesterday in the bunker, a little bit of frustration. And I think it wasn't the frustration with the shot that occurred out of the bunker. I think it was all of the frustration of the putts that he wasn't making. It seemed like yesterday Scotty went back to the Scotty we know, tee to green, and then the Scotty we've come to know, generally speaking, when he gets to the green, which is a basically average to below average with the putter. So a lot to pay attention to over the next few hours today, for sure.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of names to really, really watch. Eric Cole, the one that you brought up, is certainly a fascinating one there. But Justin Rose, even. I mean, he's a guy who's really improved his stock. He's inside the top 10 right now, seven back. He'll tee off about a little less than 2 hours from now. But he was on the outside looking in for the BMWs, and now all of a sudden he's found himself on the inside. So he's got to hold where he's at right now. He's sitting 46th right now. So a little bit of work to do, but you got to nestle yourself inside that top 50 to see the next week. And Justin Rose is someone who he's had a couple of moments this year where he's looked really good, but it's also one of those things where his clock is certainly ticking right now for how much longer he can be effective on the tour. But he has these pop-up moments. I don't know what it is about him, and just feels like certain events that are really suited for him, and he finds his way somehow, some way. Every single year, it seems like this guy is still making a name for himself, and you just kind of go like, oh, I forgot Justin Rose is still a part of this because he's been so far out of it for a number of these events. But then all of a sudden, oh, it's the British Open, and here's Rosie like sitting right in the thick of things.
Yeah, I mean, you got to remember, the guy's got 11 wins. He's runner-up 16 times in his career. He's won $65 million. But he hasn't been as relevant as he once was. You know, Father Time is starting to catch up with him a little. But what I think and love about Justin Rose is how well he plays the most difficult golf courses. It's like the more difficult and the straighter you have to hit it, the more you have to grind, and the more this is going to take out of you, that's when Justin Rose rises to the occasion. You put him on a course that is bomb and gouge, and these guys are going 20 plus under, you're not going to see Justin Rose. But yeah, on a U.S. Open, a very hard, demanding, tight golf course, my money's always on a Justin Rose. He is such a tactician, and he is so good in that vein. But, you know, the days of hitting it a million miles and gouging it out a la Bryson aren't in his repertoire anymore, but don't need to be, because he is just a fantastic, polished, international player.
And then Victor Hovland, another guy who both you and I were so, so high on at the end of last year, the way he closed out. He wins at Olympia Fields. He wins at East Lake. Back-to-back winners to close it out and win the FedEx Cup, pretty much what he had to do to win the FedEx Cup there, and he pulled it off, was playing the best golf of his career, and then leads that into a winning effort on the Ryder Cup team for Europe last year. And he's all of a sudden, he was another guy, he was sitting 57th leading into this week, and all of a sudden, he's got himself sitting in third place right now. I'm probably not going to win just because Hideki's been so damn good. But he is currently at 11 under right now, and now 20th, so it's no longer as big of an uphill climb to get to Atlanta in a couple weeks. He seems like if he can pull this thing and keep it in form, he'll be in a good spot. But again, his rounds have been a little consistent. He goes even par on Thursday, 70, and then 63, 66. So he's put together two really strong rounds, but it's going to be, can he continue that? And we know from everything that we've seen from him this year, consistency has not been his friend. It has not been part of his game this year. It would not shock either of us if he goes out and fires a 70 today and all of a sudden finds himself somewhere in the neighborhood of 20th in this tournament.
Yeah, and it's funny. You mentioned a few other names, and just as we were chatting, okay, a guy like Eric Cole, who was 54th, just moved himself up to 48th. So now he's in. But guess what? Who just got knocked down, who's literally on the bubble, is Tom Kim and Keegan Bradley at 49 and 50. Nick Dunlop is one of four rookies, and it looks like maybe the only rookie that'll go on. Jake Knapp just slid out of the top 50. He's now slid seven places down to 57th. So this thing, it's gonna be like popcorn all day. It's going to go up and down, and it's, I think, some of the enjoyment from a fan perspective is to have this thing on the computer while you're watching, just to see what's going on and who to root for and who's having a day and whose season is going to end today. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch for sure. But guys like that and a guy like Max Homa, believe it or not, he's already slid down eight spots. He is at 43rd. He doesn't have a whole lot of room left, and he better start playing some good golf, even though he's dead last right now.
Yeah, the thing that's tough for him is he can't really improve his standing. I mean, he's got two holes left to play. He's four strokes back of Rory. So he kind of knows where he is right now. He is basically praying at this point that things hold. And again, seven or eight spots to drop would be a lot. But the way that some of the fluctuation that we've seen and where some of these guys are right on the edge here, it wouldn't shock me. And a lot of the guys that are on the edge have at least a back nine to play. And so a lot of things can change over the course of those nine holes.
No, you bring up a great point. He's running out of real estate. I didn't realize he's that deep into the round, but you're right. So now he puts himself, after 72 holes, he's played himself into a position where he needs help. And or he's rooting for those that are ahead to stay ahead and those behind to stay behind and keep things as they are. But that's not a position that I would have thought Max Homa would have found himself here on August 18th when we were having chats between, let's say, the Masters and the U.S. Open.
Right.
I mean, just all of a sudden he fell off the face of the earth this summer.
Yeah, like who would have thought that he's a guy where he needs stagnation, not at like the BMWs or anything, but like at St. Jude, that's when he would need it this early to see if he can continue to qualify and continue to move along. And it kind of gets me wondering, and I'm hoping it's the case, but can he kind of do what Justin Thomas did this year for next year? Where this was, I mean, and Justin Thomas, JT's season last year was worse than what Max has had this year.
Correct.
But if he can funnel that into, all right, I really need to tweak some things in my game, get back to my 2023 self. And right now, Justin Thomas, he entered this tournament top 20 in the FedEx Cup standings. He's dropped back a little bit down to 26, but he'll certainly take that, especially after missing the playoff altogether last year.
Oh, yeah. This year, Justin Thomas's year really was fundamentally built on the foundation of how he really finished. So he was able to take the Ryder Cup, the just so close last shot, last final hole, almost goes in, but he parlayed into a very successful year for him. Now, was it his best year? No. But was it far better than last? Oh my gosh, yes.
I mean, last year he's playing in tournaments at the end of the year that any other year in his career he probably didn't play in before, but he did it because he needed the points to try to qualify, and like you mentioned, he comes up just short on that one chip down in Greensboro. So it's, I mean, the way that he has turned around, and I won't say gotten back into form, but he's on the right progression from where he was right before the Ryder Cup to where he got to in the Ryder Cup and what he's been so far this season.
I would agree. I would absolutely agree. And you never know, but these guys are so good. Max Homa could find it. And then all of a sudden it's like, where has this been? But I am absolutely shocked at the season that Max has been having after the start that he started out with. And I just thought he was going to be potentially somebody that would have won a major this year. So between he and Victor, we're going to have a lot of guys, you know, who is the best player to have never won a major?
Right, Patrick Cantlay.
Patrick Cantlay.
Certainly his name gets brought up in all those.
We've got a great field of guys who's the best not to have won a major.
Right. And the thing about Max, too, is like I think people feel like he's a lot younger than he is. 33.
I know.
And he's been around for a while now, but he's really started to burst onto the scene in the last 3-4 years at this point, which in the era of golf that we're in right now, where we see all these young guys who just hit it big out of the gate, guys like Victor Hovland and Ludvig Åberg, like those are the guys right now that Akshay Bhatia, Tom Kims, like those are the guys who right now are bursting onto the scene and taking things right away. And for a guy like Max, you wonder how long he'll be able to hang on and play at the level that he has the last couple of years. And again, he's had a very nice career, made almost $30 million over the course of his career, and has 6 wins on the PGA Tour. But ultimately, you know, he wants that major. And it feels like after this year, he feels much further than he did at the end of last year. And even though Justin Thomas bounced back this year, it's not like he was close to winning a major this year. And it feels like with Max, that clock is certainly ticking a little bit faster than some of these other guys.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing that's interesting about Max Homa is, yes, he does have 6 wins. He has an international win, but he only has 1 runner-up.
That is, yeah.
And only 3 third-place finishes.
10 years on the tour.
Yeah. And he's been on tour for just over 10 years. He turned pro 2013. So, yeah, he's had an interesting career, but I think he's also somebody that when he came along in his career, he benefited from the Tiger effect and everything else, because he's played pretty well to win $30 million, but it's not like he won 15 times with 15 seconds and right. 30 thirds. He's just been a very good tour player.
Yeah, I mean, 14 top fives.
Yeah.
So, like, you'd figure for a guy who has the notoriety and the stature and just the Q rating within the game, you'd have more than 14 top fives.
Yeah, with almost 200 starts in your career.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would have, if you would have said to me, Max Homa has played 200 times, how many times has he finished in the top five or finished second? I would have guessed at least 20 to 30 top fives. And I would have guessed at least a handful of seconds and or thirds, yeah. But no.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting career, but I'll tell you what, would you take a career where you've made almost $30 million?
Yeah.
I'd say gladly.
Yeah, I think it is interesting. He's got more wins than he has runners-up and third-place finishes combined. And that's just a very, like, it's very boomer bust, which I guess has kind of been the MO for his career, especially as of late. All right, when we come back, we will go around the CDGA. The segment has been brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Thank you to Matt McMaster for producing today's show. Real quick, Mike, what's going on around the CDGA?
Well, folks, we've got the August edition. I'm holding it up here for everybody on Twitch with Bryson DeChambeau on the cover. Some great articles in here, packed with some great information and content. It should be arriving in your mailbox if you haven't already received it, so be on the lookout for that. Yesterday, I had a chance to go out to Klein Creek and watch the Wheaton Cup. Now, congratulations to Wheaton Morinville South for winning the Wheaton Cup at Klein Creek for the second year in a row. And I have to give a personal congratulations to my nephew, Charlie Gilligan, who followed up back-to-back. He is now a back-to-back champion in the Wheaton Cup. And this follows up a 68 he posted at an event at the Den at Fox Creek, home of the IHSA state finals later this year. So congratulations, my friend. Way to go. It was a joy to watch you guys play out there. And I have to tell you, Tyler, it's amazing watching these high school varsity players. They look like little tour players out there. And the lines and the aggressiveness that they have when they play is absolutely unreal. So junior golf's in a great spot. CDGA members, just remember this weekend, you've got a great opportunity to get a sandwich at Jersey Mike's for $2 off. Just show them your CDGA app when you go into the store, and you'll get $2 off of any sandwich. And I prefer the Jersey Mike's number 8 Mike's Way. And lastly, happy birthday to John Yurkovic today.
All right. And you know he's hitting it today.
You know he's hitting it. And also Cam Smith. So two big golfers in our family. Happy birthday. Have a great day. And that's it from the CDGA.
All right. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back next week, Saturday, 9 to 11 a.m. The Chicago's College Tailgate coming up next here on ESPN 1000.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.